Let's pray. Father, that is our great hope, that we will be raised from the dead to live anew. We will see your face and stand before you. That's what we live for. That's our hope. Father, would you reveal yourself to us tonight? Would you pour out your Spirit upon us in a way that is real and powerful and mighty? Would you grant us repentance and faith and newness of life? Would you cause us to see our sin in ways we've never seen it before? Would you cause us to fear you in ways we've never feared you before, and to love you, to rest in the assurance of your grace and mercy to us in your Son, Christ Jesus? Would you help us, Father, tonight? Would you speak through me? We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Okay, turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. You're going to get a very timely sermon tonight that has absolutely nothing to do with the election. Acts chapter 1, we'll begin reading in verse 12. There. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey away. And when they had entered, they went up to the upper room where they were staying, Peter and John and James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus and Simon the Zealot and Judas the son of James. All these with one accord were devoting themselves to prayer together with the women and Mary the mother of Jesus and his brothers. In those days, Peter stood up among the brothers, the company of persons was in all about 120, and said, "Brothers, the scripture had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit spoke beforehand by the mouth of David concerning Judas, who became a guide to those who arrested Jesus. For he was numbered among us and was allotted his share in this ministry. Now this man acquired a field with the reward of his wickedness, and falling headlong, he burst open in the middle, and all his bowels gushed out. And it became known to all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, so that the field was called in their own language Akeldama, that is, field of blood. For it is written in the book of Psalms, 'May his camp become desolate, and let there be no one to dwell in it, and let another take his office.' So one of the men who have accompanied us during all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John until the day when he was taken up from us, one of these men must become with us a witness to his resurrection." And they put forward two, Joseph called Barsabbas, who is also called Justus, and Matthias. And they prayed and said, "You, Lord, who know the hearts of all, show which one of these two you have chosen to take the place in this ministry and apostleship from which Judas turned aside to go to his own place." And they cast lots for them, and the lot fell on Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. Okay, here's the first thing I want to do tonight. I want us to again put ourselves in the place of the apostles. All right? Jesus has ascended into heaven. He has said, "Wait in Jerusalem till power comes upon you from on high." So they go back to Jerusalem. They go into the upper room. I think there's very good reason to think this is the exact same place where they celebrated the Lord's Supper. They go into the room together. All of the 11 are there. Okay, they're all gathered around. They're devoting themselves to prayer. There are women present among them. Mary, the mother of Jesus, is there. This is the last time she's mentioned in Scripture. Okay, they're praying. And Jesus' brothers are there. All right, now this is about a month or so after Jesus was crucified and raised from the dead. There are 120 people gathered in the room, a company of persons, about 120. That's, how big is this room? Does anybody know how many this room seats? I don't think it seats quite that many. Maybe 200 at the most, I'm thinking. 200 at the most. So at least 60 to 70% of this room, okay, filled with people. So how many people all gathered together, all right? And then Peter stood up among them all. Now, tell me a little bit about Peter. Who is Peter? Sorry?
Galilee.
Okay, he's from Galilee. What else? One of Jesus' closest disciples. That's true. What else can you tell me about Peter? Yeah, Paul. He was a loose cannon. That's one way of putting it. In good and bad ways. What do you mean by that? Explain yourself. I don't know that I'm willing to accept loose cannon without qualification.
He would do things on faith without thinking about it. Sometimes he would make mistakes.
Impulsive, maybe.
Yes, impulsive. Yeah.
He would just act. And so he would have mighty, courageous acts of faith. He would be the one to jump out of the boat and step on water. He'd also be the one to do something really stupid, like rebuke Jesus for saying that he was going to be crucified. Right? Whatever Peter was, he was alive. He was a man of guts and courage and faith. Right? He swung for the fences every time. So sometimes he struck out big, sometimes he hit it over. That's pretty good. That's a pretty good way of thinking of Peter. He's the kind of man who led with his chin, if you want to think of it that way. He was a leader. He was the leader of the early church. But think about what Peter's last month or so had been like. What had Peter's last month or so been like?
Depressing?
Why depressing?
He had denied Christ.
Jesus told him he would deny him. He said, I won't do it. Typical Peter. Never, I'll follow you even to death. And then he does it. He denied Christ. Here he is, chief of the apostles, the leader. And yet he's the one who denied Christ. Zanisha says it was probably pretty depressing. Yeah, yeah. So we have this episode after Jesus is resurrected where Jesus and Peter are interacting and Jesus says to Peter, Simon, not Peter, the rock on which I'll build my church, Simon, do you love me? Three times he asks him, do you love me? And you see in that passage, Peter getting exasperated. Clearly a very difficult thing that Jesus is doing with Peter. Very kind of public and painful discipline of Peter. Simon, do you love me? You know I love you. Feed my sheep. Simon, do you really love me? Very, very painful. Peter's sins were public. He was a public man with public sins. All the best leaders are. You can't lead if you're not willing for your sins and mistakes to be obvious in public. The best leaders lead with their chins. They can take hits. They can take blows. Some of you can never be Peter's because you're too precious with yourself. You just can't do it. Because for you, leadership is about cultivating an image of perfection. You're the kind of person that would have despised Peter and Peter's leadership. Because Peter was just out there, often being an idiot, but leading with faith and with zeal. And repenting as he went. So imagine yourself in the upper room, okay? This is Peter. How do you think, there's 120 people, how do you think people in that room thought, what do you think they thought about Peter and his leadership at this point? Here's the man who stood up and denied Christ. Okay, he's going to stand up and he's going to address this room full of 120 people. And who's he going to talk about? He's going to talk about Judas. So the man who betrayed Christ, Peter, is going to get up and talk about the man who betrayed Christ, Judas. Well, that's some nerve. That's some chutzpah. Not enough phlegm. Chutzpah. If you would have been there, what would you have thought? What would you have thought? Let's find a replacement for you too while you're at it, you unspiritual, you know, moron. Who do you think you are? Who do you think you are getting up here, standing up front and saying, well, we all know that Judas betrayed our Lord. Let's find his replacement now. What do you think it was like for Peter? Let me ask you that question. What kind of faith do you think it took for Peter to stand up and do what he's doing here? But Peter's a man of faith and humility. It takes real humility and real faith to stand up after that kind of failure and still lead. And the godly, I promise you, loved him for it. There is no show with Peter. There's no flash with Peter. He was just a man, just a humble fisherman who loved the Lord, who repented publicly all the time. What do you think it was like when the Apostle Paul, we read in Galatians, rebukes him publicly in front of the church? I mean, you have to have leaders like that. And you have to love leaders like that who can take it and be like, you know, caught red-handed. Peter, leader of the church, caught red-handed. There's no indication that Peter's leadership or this respect that Peter received in the church was diminished by his very public sins. Because his repentance was always just as public as his sin. So this is Peter. And we see this kind of thing all through Scripture. If you were here a year ago, we went through Hebrews 11, right? We looked at all the saints and sinners of Scripture. Big time sinners. Deeply flawed men. But with real faith. With real character. David, a man of character and faith. The adulterous murderer. The man of character and faith. What? How does that work? It's repentance. Repentance. Submitting himself to God's discipline. David fell, sinned in grievous ways, and then he repented and he submitted himself to God's discipline. He left town. What's his face? Out there cursing him in the street. And one of his guards says, should I go rip his head off? And he says, no, this is God's discipline. His repentance was public, just as public, if not more public than his sin. Kind of leader Peter is. So you have Peter on one side, okay? And David. And we always see this kind of thing in Scripture. We see two kinds of men set up against one another. All throughout Scripture. Next to David is Saul. Next to Moses is Pharaoh. Next to Cain is Next to Elijah is Ahab. Next to Peter is Judas. Next to Peter is Judas. So who was Judas? Who was Judas? A man who Jesus called, ordained to the office of apostle, to be one of the 12 judges of Israel, is what Jesus said about them. This is a very particular office. There must be 12 of them. It's why they're going to replace Judas. It's all foretold in the Old Testament, says Peter. Okay, so Judas is a man that Jesus called and ordained to the office of apostle. Did Jesus know what he was doing when he ordained Judas? He knew exactly what he was doing. He knew exactly what he was doing. Why did he do it? Why? It's true. It had to happen that way, but why? Why did it have to happen that way? Yeah, but why was it, why did it, yeah, it was prophesied about, but why, that doesn't answer the question. That just says that it was a part of a plan. Why was it a part of the plan? To show us our complete depravity. That's pretty good. What do you mean? Can you open that up a little more? Even though, so she said, even though he was one of the men closest to Jesus, he was still full of sin. He was still depraved. Okay, what else? Why? Puts the fear of God into who? Good. Okay, so Anna says, puts the fear of God into us, into them. Nobody, if Judas isn't above temptation, if one of the 12 isn't above temptation, nobody is. Nobody is. Why else? J.C. Ryle says one of the reasons is Jesus meant to teach us, to instruct us, that there will always be false shepherds among those who are ordained to the office of the offices of Christ Church. There will always be false shepherds. Can't help it. It's just what's going to happen. So what was Judas like inwardly? What was Judas like? Or what was Judas like outwardly? Tell me what he was like. What do you know about Judas? What did he look like to the other apostles? What did Jesus do for the 3 years before he betrayed Christ for 30 pieces of silver? What was he doing? Oh yeah, he was the treasurer of the group, that's true.
He was doing what the other apostles were doing when Christ had sent them out in pairs to heal and to cast out demons.
He was doing everything all the other apostles were doing, which was what? Which was, Alex said, healing, casting out demons, preaching and teaching. Do you think people were benefited by his preaching and teaching ministry? Do you think people were led to repentance and faith by his teaching and preaching ministry? So did the Holy Spirit work through Judas's preaching? Was Judas ever filled with the power of the Holy Spirit when he preached and taught? Really? Did Judas heal? Were all the other apostles successful in healing except for Judas? And everybody was like, man, it just never worked for Judas. what's the deal? He's like, I don't know. I just don't have the spark. Did Judas heal? Did the Holy Spirit use Judas when Judas placed his hands on you to heal you? Did demons obey the voice of Judas? So did Judas taste something of the power of the Holy Spirit? He had some real knowledge of the truth. Some real experience of God. You think Judas knew he was a traitor all along? Do you think Judas started out with intentions of betraying Jesus? You think Judas felt like a traitor for those 3 years? So what happened? All of you are shaking your heads, no. What happened? Judas just woke up one day and, I've got an idea. I'm going to sell Christ for 30 pieces of silver. Well, that can't be true either, right? 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 Can't be true. So what happened? What's going on with Judas? How did Judas get from called apostle, healing, casting out demons, preaching, seeing lives changed and transformed, to traitor who then goes and hangs himself? By making little compromises, says Jonathan. By making little compromises. And where did it start? We know where it started with Judas. We know what his temptation was. It was the money box. It's a little bit here, a little bit there. Nobody's looking. And that's not even the taking, is it? Just like it's not even the denying with Peter. It's the unrepentance. It's unwillingness to confess what he's doing. Unwillingness to let go of his lust. Cultivating and protecting his lust. Cultivating and protecting his reputation. One little thing. Tiny little thing. Love for money. And it slowly took over his life. Every lust in your heart is just like that. John Owen says, men, every glance at a woman would be adultery if it could. Every lust is just like that. And the minute you stop fighting your lust and your sin, the minute you begin to give quarter to it, you are on the road to being Judas, to becoming Judas. And it happens all the time. And you'll flatter yourself the whole way. It's not a big deal. Everybody sins. Everybody sins in these same ways. Just like me. Everybody's just like me. It's a little sin. It won't hurt much. And gradually the noose is tightening around your neck. Things get worse and worse and worse. And the worse things get, the harder it is to get out. The harder it is to cut it off. The more control it has in your life. Doesn't matter what the sin is. But it's everybody. The promise of perseverance is just that. Those who truly belong to Christ will make it to the end. There are those who taste something. And you think it was just a small thing that Judas tasted of the power of God? No way. How many of you have cast out a demon recently? Or healed? Or seen people repent and be saved through your preaching and teaching? The sower went out and he sowed seeds in a field. Some sprung up. They didn't have a root. They didn't take root. So they were burned up. Some were snatched up by birds of prey. Some, there's another bad one, right? What's the other one? Shallow soil. Thorns and thistles. Thorns and thistles. Choked out by the cares of this world. Judas. Thorns and thistles. Birds of prey. Precious few sown on good soil. There are many, many, many people who have been awakened to the reality of their sin, who have seen something of the truth of the gospel and have comforted themselves thinking that that's enough, but have not truly laid hold of Christ, have not truly been transformed, have not truly believed, have not truly given themselves to persevering, who are giving secretly under the surface where nobody can see, giving quarter to their lusts, cultivating, nurturing, protecting. Refusing to confess their sins. Refusing to repent. Making a show of confessing their sins. But not free. Not free. Not like Peter. Not like David. Like Saul, grabbing. Like Judas. And then despairing. And it will inevitably be some of you. We see that kind of thing all the time. And so guys, it'll be a girl, or it'll be success, or it'll be your grades. Girls, it'll be a guy. Any number of other things. And slowly, you'll give up the fight. You'll give in. You'll think of it as a lost cause. You'll learn to justify what you're doing. You think it's beyond hope. And you'll be damned. You remember what Jesus said in Matthew 7 at the end of the Sermon on the Mount. There will be many who come to me on that day. Will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not do many miracles in your name? Did we not prophesy? Did we not cast out demons? And I'll say, I never knew you. Never knew you. What does he say? Not everyone will enter the kingdom of heaven. I never knew you. Not everyone will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. The one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say, did we not prophesy, cast out demons, do many mighty works? I will declare, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. Who do you suspect was the most precious of all disciples? Don't you suspect it was Judas? Most precious with themselves, most precious with their sins. You suspect it had to be Judas. You know, Peter wasn't. Peter was just like, here I am, right? Peter was just out there. And he sinned, and then he repented, and then he sinned, and then he repented. That's all that perseverance is persevering in repentance to the grave. So, something Alex pointed out this morning in class. That's all perseverance is, just repentance, real repentance. So here you have, on the one hand, Peter, a man who knows how to repent, and therefore a man that Christ has entrusted the leadership of his church to. A man who leads with his chin. A man he's out there. He's leading. He's going to sin. He's going to screw up. He's going to repent. He's going to keep leading, and you're going to want to get behind a man like that. Because it's just so sweet. It's just so sweet. To have a man who's just a man, just a sinner. And then you got Judas, who's carefully cultivating his image, hiding his sins, hiding things pop up, protecting his sins, protecting his lusts. Doesn't want anybody to touch him or come near him, even know about him. What do you think Judas thought of Peter? I guarantee you Judas despised him and was jealous of him. Why should, he's so dirty. Why should he be favored? A good indication of whether or not you might be on track to become a Judas is whether or not you despise men who repent. Men whose lives are characterized by repentance, because what they're doing is exposing you. Whether or not you feel superior to men who are in positions of leadership and authority, and you see their weaknesses and they're open and they're repenting of their sins and weaknesses openly. You think little of a man like that, you've got a problem. You are not seeing things clearly. You are not judging things as God judges them. And you are in danger of falling yourself. Because you think that righteousness consists in a show. Righteousness begins with repentance and the fear of God. You're no better than a Mormon. All carefully crafted veneer. So here's Peter standing up in front of a room full of 120 people. Everybody knows who he is. Everybody knows who Peter is. Some people will probably despise Peter a little bit. But at this point, let me tell you, the church picky or choosy. That's not what I'm going for. It's just not very a trendy or hip place for pretenders to be. Right? Okay? It's just not a very trendy or hip place for pretenders to be. When the church is persecuted, the church is purified. Jesus was just crucified. It wasn't trendy to be associated with Jesus, right? These were godly people, humble people. They all knew themselves. They all saw Judas fall. They knew Judas. They loved Judas. None of them saw it coming. And their first thought, just like it was in this same upper room, when Jesus said, one of you this night will betray me, was, is it me? And they asked themselves, like Anna said, is it me? They trembled. They didn't feel superior to Judas. And they didn't feel superior to Peter either. So here's the man that Jesus has chosen to lead his church. He's Peter, just like David. And here's the question. Do you want to persevere in the faith? Do you want to be a leader? Do you want to be free? Be loose to be a sinner, to be a real sinner, not a pretend sinner, not a fake sinner. You got nothing to hide. God sees you. God sees you. He sees you perfectly. You're an open book to him. You're naked before him. We see you. And nobody here is scandalized by your sins. It doesn't matter what they are. Be loosed, be free. To repent and be a sinner. And if you see in yourself, you giving your heart over to sin, walking like an ox to the slaughter, and telling yourself that's not what you're doing, as you give yourself over to your lusts, then stop it. And I am talking about you. You, every one of you, should be asking yourself, am I Judas? Should be examining your heart. Am I Judas? And then you should answer, yes, I am. There is no hope for me. Not in here. I see my sin. I see my lust. There is no hope for me. And it should drive you to your knees. Because there is hope in Christ. And it's what Judas never saw. It's what Judas could never see. He was too proud. He was too hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. He thought it was hopeless. So he despaired and he hung himself. And he is in hell. And it did not have to be that way for Judas. Don't get me wrong, it did. That was the plan. But it didn't have to be that way. It doesn't have to be that way for you. You can be Peter. You can be David. Right now you can be. But don't you dare give yourself over to sin thinking that you can turn on David mode or Peter mode sometime in the future. It does not work that way. Grief. He knew that he was wrong. He went back, actually, to the religious leaders. He tried to give the money back. And those wicked, wicked men. Oh, man. Those wicked men. Said, your blood be on your own head. Instead of calling him to repentance and faith. So he hung himself. He didn't have anything else to do. He didn't have the faith to face his brothers. You think Peter could have found it in his heart to forgive Judas? A million times, 70 times, 7 times. It was Peter who asked that question. So here they are, they're in the room together. They've been through a lot. Judas has betrayed them and hung himself. Jesus has been crucified and resurrected and among them. And Peter, this doofus with clay feet, is standing up in front of them, quoting David and telling them scriptures were fulfilled. We need to replace the man. We need to replace him. And then wait till you see what Peter does next. I don't know that we'll get to Peter's sermon next week, but I think we'll actually, well, I don't know what we'll do. But here's how I want to end tonight. Listen. Christian life isn't clean. It's not easy. But it is simple. Repent of your sins. Trust in Christ. Kill your sin. Kill your sin. Kill your sin. Kill your lust before it kills you. And Scripture is full of warnings of men who did not kill their lust, and so they died. And Scripture is full of Peters who were just men of faith, who knew they had no hope inside themselves. They turned away from their sin and they turned to Christ, and they were bold as lions. They were righteous. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your kindness to us in Christ. We thank you that you warn us, that you frighten us, that you give us holy fear to cause us to turn from our sins, to abandon our lusts, and to turn to Christ. Would you help us, please, Father? Would you give us the faith that we need to confront our own sins and lusts, lest I become Judas? Give us the faith, Father, to live and to lead as sinners who have a great Savior. Father, thank you for sending your Son to die for our sins. Thank you that his blood is sufficient to cover every last bit of unbelief, fear, of doubt, lust. Thank you, Father. We do love you very much. In Jesus' name, amen.